Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Comté Cheese Association. Comté, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at comté-usa.com. That's comté-usa.com. Hey, this is Hannah Forden. I'm the program manager here at Heritage Radio Network. This year, we're celebrating HRN's 10th anniversary, and I want to thank all of our listeners and members for being a part of an incredible year of food radio. We never would have made it this far without all of you. So HRN is now in its summer fund drive, and this is when we turn to you and ask that you make a donation to help ensure a bright future for food radio. Whether you listen to one show or 20, there's a reason why you keep tuning in week after week. All of our content is powered by a small nonprofit, and we rely on your generosity to keep going. Help us keep broadcasting the most thought-provoking, entertaining, and educational conversations happening in the world of food and beverage. So become a member today. To celebrate our 10th anniversary, we have some brand new member gifts available online, so I encourage you to snag your new favorite pizza-themed t-shirt or enamel pin today and show the world how much you love HRN. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate so you can snag your 10th anniversary member swag. And thank you.
Hello, and welcome to Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm Elena Santigade. This week is a big one for cheese and specialty food. It's the week of the Summer Fancy Food Show, a yearly event that takes place on the west side of Manhattan. Importers, distributors, brokers, and producers all descend onto New York and set up camp at the Javits Convention Center for 3 days to try and do as much business as they can. Buyers hunt for new products and ideas, and cheesemakers and specialty food producers get a chance to meet the frontline retailers and chefs getting their products into the hands of the consumer. It's basically an around-the-clock sales event and a huge specialty food celebration. My guests today are in town for this very event, and they are Bruno Gritti of the Northern Italian farmstead cheesemaker Quattro Portoni and Paola Calciolari. Did I do it? I did it. Of Le Tamarici, makers of Mostarda Mantovana. They're here with Michelle Buster of the importing powerhouse Forever Cheese. Bruno, Paola, and Michelle, welcome to Cutting the Curd.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
It's great to have you here. What a special little visit to squeeze into what I'm sure is a busy time on this fancy food show week, right?
Okay, c'è un sacco da fare. Grazie per mettervi inserire questo.
Listeners, you get the special treat today of hearing Michelle Buster speak Italian to Paola as she translates my questions on the show. I don't know about you, but it's just pure music to my ears. Okay, so let's jump right in. I'm very excited because I love both of your products. I've tasted them over the years. I'm a huge fan. Let's start with the cheese, because this is a cheese podcast. And Bruno, the thing I'm most interested to start off with is your second generation family farmstead cheesemakers in Northern Italy. And at a certain point, you switched from cow's milk to water buffalo milk. Tell us a little bit about why the switch and how it has gone over the last, it's been 13 years or so since you switched it. How's it going, and why did you make that switch?
Vuoi che ti dico?
Sì, qualcosa, mi ha chiesto come
abbia fatto il cambio. Qual è, perché hai fatto il cambio da, da latte di mucca a latte di bufala? E che cambio hai visto? E come ti trovi? E sono, lei ha detto 13 anni, però sono un po' di più.
Sì, abbiamo cominciato a modificare la nostra azienda nel 2000, acquistando delle bufale, e poi abbiamo fatto una trasformazione dell'allevamento nel 2003 e abbiamo sostituito tutti gli animali da mucche a bufale.
So in the year 2000 they decided to make this change, and by the year 2003 they had successfully transferred all of the herd from cows to buffalo. Mm.
Il motivo per cui abbiamo pensato di fare questo cambiamento è perché abbiamo intravisto nell'allevamento della bufala la possibilità di creare dei prodotti nuovi, diversi, e proporci al mercato con un formaggio completamente diverso e nuovo che non esisteva ancora sul prodotto.
They made this change because they saw an opportunity with the buffalo that wasn't there. First, they liked them as animals for their temperament and to do something different. They wanted something new and fresh. And then when it came the idea that they had to make the cheese, and they realized that making aged buffalo milk cheese, nobody had ever done it before. So it made them very excited to embark on something so new and creative.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was sort of reading news articles about Quattro Portoni, kind of doing a little research before the show, and it seems like it's really all about this marriage between the Italian tradition, the Northern Italian traditional cheeses, but then this novelty of sorts with the water buffalo milk. How do you keep innovating and keep staying fresh with that new idea of the aged water buffalo milk cheeses? How do you develop new ideas? Are you working on any new cheeses? How do you keep that going?
L'idea di fare formaggi di bufala è assolutamente legato alla tradizione della Lombardia.
So the idea of making buffalo milk cheeses was absolutely linked to the tradition of cheese in Lombardy. Mm.
In particolare la provincia di Bergamo è un luogo dove si possono fare 9 DOP diverse, per cui è una tradizione millenaria quella della produzione del formaggio stagionato.
He said that in Lombardy alone, in Bergamo alone, there are 9 DOP cheeses. Mm. So there's just 1,000 different ways of being able to interpret that cheese and those cheeses. Mm-hmm.
E la mozzarella di bufala, che è il prodotto riferito al latte di bufala, è tipicamente napoletano. Fare napoletano e casertano. Fare una coppia in Lombardia non aveva senso. Secondo me era più logico utilizzare la tradizione locale e un latte diverso per creare un prodotto diverso.
He said mozzarella di bufala comes from the area of Naples and Caserta. Mm-hmm. So he said it didn't really make any sense to him to reproduce something that wasn't from the region, and it made much more sense to try and interpret his own region through a new type of milk.
Mm-hmm.
In definitiva mi sembrava più interessante essere il primo a fare un prodotto stagionato di bufala piuttosto che l'ultimo a fare la mozzarella.
He said it seemed much more interesting to be the first to make aged buffalo milk cheeses as opposed to the last to make mozzarella di bufala.
Mm. Very good position.
Vuole sapere come ti viene in mente le novità? Cosa che ti dà questa idea di essere fresco, di fare novità, e quali novità ne avete?
Sì, abbiamo sempre in cantiere delle novità. Il nostro è un caseificio piccolo, per cui non abbiamo delle automazioni, delle linee automatiche. È come una cucina, e come in una cucina si possono sperimentare ricette tutti i giorni. Per cui una parte del mio tempo è dedicato a questa ricerca.
He said, we're a very small company. We don't have this huge line of just factory made cheeses. So there's always, it's kind of like there's a part set aside always where he's always thinking and always making trials and coming up with different things to see what might be the next cool thing. And in fact, some of his new items we will have at the show. He embarked on raw milk buffalo cheeses for the last edition of Cheese in Bra and came up with 4 or 5 new ones, and we're featuring Leteggio at the food show here.
And what is the style of that cheese?
In che stile dice che fatto Leteggio?
Il Leteggio è uno stile che ricorda un po' il salva cremasco come compattezza della pasta. È fatto a latte crudo, però in una forma diversa, e può essere molto adattabile ad affinamenti fatti anche con vinace piuttosto che con altre idee.
Ma salva cremasca, che stile proprio? Latte acido?
Sì, per cui è una pasta piuttosto compatta, acidificata, resta a temperatura di caseificio per tutta la notte, questo ne facilita l'acidificazione, la perdita del siero, resta una pasta acida che è una caratteristica particolare. Si sente l'acidità anche se il formaggio è stagionato.
So the style of Leteggio is more like salva cremasco, which is one of those important DOPs. So it's an acidified milk cheese. So in that you get a very kind of crumbly texture. You get some really great acidity in the notes. And it also, it doesn't, it's not square like salva though, it's round. And it's a cheese that you can do a lot of different things with. So as it ages and develops, it can be great on its own, or you can also do different things like bathing it in wine or other sort of things. So it's kind of something that keeps developing, and you get kind of a creaminess as it ages, but you still have that point of acidity. So it's very fun for him to work with, and the base of this is raw milk.
Very
so that
exciting.
Changes it too.
Very, very exciting. Wow. We'll have to be on the lookout for this one. Ooh, my taste buds are watering. And we do have some cheese here in the studio, which I'll taste in a moment. But first I wanted to ask Paola, you know, it sounds like you've been making your products for decades now. I think started in the 90s, in 1991, if that's correct. And the thing I'm curious about is, with your mostardas, I know that you make a number of different products, but the mostardas for me are so special and so unique. And I know that part of your approach is to use local products to make these local vegetables and fruits. But so my question is, how do you choose what to make?
Dice che sai che ti piace fare tutti, che la mostarda è tua specialità, anche della zona, che ti piace usare tutti i prodotti freschi della zona. Vuole sapere come scegli quali prodotti, quali verdure, quali frutti da usare e come vieni con queste ricette.
Allora, mostarda Mantova è un prodotto tipico che c'è sempre stato da tanti anni. 25 anni fa ho iniziato questo lavoro pensando di fare una piccola produzione artigianale. Si faceva solo nelle case.
Mostarda Mantovani has been around for just ages and centuries. So 25 years ago, she started this little tiny laboratory just to make the best and the freshest of whatever she could find.
Nella nostra zona sono delle produzioni di frutta molto particolari, come la mela campanina, come l'anguria bianca. Quindi anche di questi prodotti erano un attimino dimenticati, sono stati ripresi, sono stati rilavorati.
So something like crab apple or the white watermelon that we have here today are very local to her area and also been very forgotten. So she was looking for things that were local that she could help revive those traditions.
Right.
Per me è molto importante scegliere un produttore che faccia solo quella determinata produzione di o di mele o di pere o è specializzato in questo prodotto.
She chooses her suppliers, but they have to be specialized in what they do, so they only make that one fruit.
I see.
È molto importante.
Very, very important. When you have people who are focused on one element so deeply, the quality is just going to be better across the board.
E importante anche una lavorazione che è rimasta manuale, ancora non troppo lavorata con le macchine, quindi la frutta arriva, si lavora subito senza fare frigorifero, quindi senza conservazione nessun tipo.
It's also a very artisanal way of making this product and with very little machinery. So it's fresh fruit that arrives, it gets washed immediately, and it's all hand and there's no preservatives. Mm. So it's something that's very in the moment.
Very in the moment, very pure. And for our listeners who aren't as familiar with these products, how do you define mostarda? And what is mostarda mantovana?
Come defini la mostarda e cos'è la differenza, cos'è mostarda mantovana?
Allora, mostarda mantovana è la frutta, viene tagliata a fettine sottili, non c'è la frutta intera, e è una frutta candita con l'aggiunta di senape.
There's another mostarda out there from Cremona, which are whole fruits. Mm-hmm. So the mostarda from Mantova is made by taking the fruit and cutting it, slicing it into pieces, and then adding the mustard to it. So it's a characteristic of the mustard, adds a very spicy component. Mm-hmm. And then you have the fruit, which has been candied, so you have the sweet component.
È un composto naturale, non ha conservanti, quindi questa è la caratteristica. Quindi sai ancora il sapore della frutta e della verdura.
Mm. It's very natural, so there's no added preservatives, so you always taste the flavor of the fruit or the vegetable.
Right.
Era un prodotto sempre da abbinare, da fare i famosi tortelli di zucca, da abbinare con il bollito, le carni. E il mondo formaggi raramente si avvicinava. Quando ho pensato di ammetterlo al mondo formaggio è perché io ho cominciato a amare tantissimo il formaggio e fare corsi di degustazione di formaggio, quindi mi è venuta l'idea di dire perché questo prodotto non lo faccio con il formaggio.
The original pairings for this was the bollito misto, which is like a veal roast, or the tortelline with squash. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily for cheese. Mm. So when she decided to embark on this pairing idea, it was because she really loved cheeses.
Ah.
And so she wanted to really cultivate this new pairing process of cheese with her mostarda.
Love it. So in that spirit, how do you decide what your pairings are going to be? Do you taste a number of cheeses? Do you work directly with any cheesemakers? How do you make the connection between, let's say, the crab apple mostarda and you know, the best cheese to pair with it? How do you land on that?
Well, some of them we did together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we tasted everything, you know, we said these are the cheeses that we have that we feel like would go well, and
right.
then we would kind of collaborate on what that was.
Right.
Ha chiesto come decide quali formaggi sono migliori da abbinare. Io ho spiegato che abbiamo fatto insieme.
Certo. Dipende molto da anche non solo dal sapore della frutta, ma anche dalla testura della frutta. Quindi su consistenze più importanti ci va un formaggio un pochino più stagionato, con una pasta un pochino più strutturata. Per formaggi invece più con paste molli è ovvio che sta meglio una frutta non soltanto di sapore simile, ma anche che abbia una consistenza simile. Quindi il gioco poi è un gioco molto molto personale anche, quindi non è soltanto va bene con una cosa o un'altra. La mela campanina a me piace tanto anche col parmigiano, perché è un nostro prodotto, un prodotto del territorio, mentre magari l'anguria bianca su un formaggio come quello quattro portoni ce lo vedo molto bene, molto adatto.
So what she said, hopefully I remember everything, is that it depends a lot on the fruit itself, the texture of the fruit, also the texture of the cheese.
Right.
So she finds that they're sort of similar, and also the flavor profile. So if you have a cheese that's robust, you want a product that's going to be robust as well.
Right.
And if it's kind of more aged, then there are certain the textures in the fruit will lend itself more to some or the other. Mm. Just as like if you have a softer more mellow cheese, then you want to take a fruit that has a similar texture, or maybe one with a little bit less kick of the mostarda, because she does also these beautiful confitures and compotes that go with it. And she says it's very personal,
right?
In the end,
yeah,
it's something that we see all the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, here in front of us, I have some quattro portoni cheese, some of the mostarda. And I'm thinking, so listeners, if you don't know the cheese Cassatica, then I really, really hope you are on your way to your local cheese shop right now, because Cassatica is one of my favorite cheeses by Quattro Portoni, and I'm happy that there's a piece of it here in front of me today. And I'm thinking the Cassatica with the crab apple mostarda would be a good combination. Yeah. Yes. Everybody's nodding at me here in the studio. So as I taste this, I'm going to go ahead and taste it. I have a question for Michelle, actually, and we can all taste it together. But so Michelle, you know, you at Forever Cheese, you're importing these incredible products that could fill many specialty food shops, basically. And you've got cheeses, you've got the mostardas. When you think about, you know, talking to buyers about what they can bring in, I assume you're naturally thinking about pairings and what can go with what or how to organize the products. Is this something that you're bringing back to the producers and talking about with them a lot? Maybe ahead of a trip like this, planning pairings in a more deliberate way?
I didn't really plan pairings for the show. Mm-hmm. We'll have different cheeses and different products. And Paola's come especially for this edition to launch our new rebranding and our refreshed look of her products that are there. But for something as so particular as a mostarda that not everybody knows what it is, they're thinking of a mustard as opposed to a candied fruit with a spicy mustard flavor in there that almost is like wasabi. It's really important to give some suggestions, if not a specific pairing, but a guideline for what could go well,
right,
whether it's cheese or charcuterie, which is great, or grilled meats. But it's always important to have in mind the suggested use, whether it's for a cheese or for the others, because we bring a lot of things that have never been here.
And right. It's sort of the challenge of an innovative importer is like, you're not only introducing a new product, you might be introducing a whole new concept, a whole new product category in a way. This is really good.
You should do the two, switch all the two around and see which pairing
that's
you find.
True.
Because I personally would have put Cassatica
with the strawberry.
With the strawberry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the Quadrello, since it's a wash rind, and you have a little bit more pungency on that
kick
with the mostarda.
It's true. The interesting thing, the delicacy of the Cassatica gets a little overshadowed by the crabapple mostarda, understandably, but then it kind of comes back.
With the creaminess of the buffalo milk.
The creaminess and the sweetness in the milk just shines.
That's that gorgeous buffalo.
And after, you know, I'm glad you mentioned the wasabi flavor, that it's where the mustard kind of reminds you of wasabi, because in this mostarda, you get this like burst of tingly, prickly, wasabi type spiciness, and then it fades and you're left with the flavor of the fruit, which I really love.
Always important, that balance.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, this is a perfect time to take a little break while I continue to eat the cheese and mostarda here. Listeners, we'll be right back in a moment with more Cutting the Curd.
This episode of Cutting the Curd is brought to you by Conte Cheese Association. Conte Cheese Association represents the Conte PDO, Conte Protected Designation of Origin in the USA. Conte is a raw milk, cooked, pressed cheese from the Jura Mountains of France. There, every day, 2,500 family farms deliver milk to over 150 local cheesemaking facilities, or fruitiers. This milk must be transformed into Conte within 24 hours of milking to preserve the lactic microflora in the milk, ensuring the cheese's aromatic potential. About 105 gallons of milk are required to craft a single wheel of Conte. Conte takes time to acquire its flavors in the affinage cellars. After 8 months of aging by dedicated affineur on average, each wheel of Conte is graded and shipped to market. No wheel of Conte is the same. Its flavors speak to the pastures where the cows grazed, the season in which it was made, the particular craftsmanship of the cheesemaker, and the time spent in the aging cellar. Therefore, every wheel of Conte is unique. Learn more about Conte, an iconic cheese from the Jura Mountains of France, favored by cheesemongers and cheese lovers all over the world. Find out more at conte-usa.com. That's conte-usa.com.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. I'm Elena Santigade, and I'm here with Bruno Gritti and Paola Calciolari and Michelle Buster of Forever Cheese. So, during the break, we've been tasting some cheese, tasting some mostarda. I'm pretty much in heaven here in the studio at Roberta's. But thinking back, sort of taking a step back at thinking of each of your companies, I'd love to know a little bit more about how large the company is, how many people you have working on your teams, and what each of you do specifically in your day-to-day work, you know, what you're spending your time on at this point.
Vuole sapere più dell'azienda, di quante persone siete, quanti sono siete piccoli o grandi, cose che fate ognuno personalmente dentro l'azienda, giornaliere.
Posso cominciare io? Nella mia azienda ci sono 15 persone che lavorano.
There are 15 people working with Bruno's company.
Okay.
Più ci sono io e mio fratello che fa il veterinario.
And then there's himself and his brother who is the veterinary.
Right.
A breve entrerà in nell'azienda anche mia figlia Roberta.
Sì. And his daughter Roberta will soon be joining them.
Oh, how exciting. That's really, really
breaking
great.
News.
you know, listeners, you can't see it, but maybe you can hear this enormous smile that has burst onto Bruno's face.
Quello che faccio io nella mia azienda ha avuto un'evoluzione durante gli anni. All'inizio mi occupavo della coltivazione dei campi.
He used to just take care of the fields. Mm-hmm.
Poi dell'allevamento insieme a mio fratello.
And then he used to help his brother raise the buffalo.
E da quando abbiamo deciso di iniziare la produzione di formaggi, mi sono dedicato 100% al formaggio.
And when they decided to make cheese, he became cheese guy 100%.
Wow.
Per i primi anni, manualmente e operativamente, ho lavorato il latte e poi mi sono accorto che poi dovevo anche cominciare a proporlo e a venderlo, per cui dal lavoro manuale sono passato anche alla commercializzazione.
He said for the first couple of years he was, you know, heads up in the milk himself, making the cheese, learning about it all around him. And then one day he realized that he might need to start selling it as well.
In questo mio nuovo lavoro di fare la vendita dei formaggi della quale non ero capace, una delle persone più importanti che ho avuto modo di incontrare è stata Michelle.
He said in his new job, where he was starting to sell cheeses, he said one of the people that became very important who he came across was me.
Ah, you, Michelle.
Yes.
That makes sense. And Bruno, did you ever think you would become a cheesemaker?
Se hai mai pensato che saresti stato un produttore di formaggio?
Sono 30 anni che lo penso. Fin quando non ho trovato la chiave giusta per realizzare questa cosa, Non sono riuscito a realizzarla, perché la nostra, come dicevo prima, è un'area molto tradizionale per la produzione di formaggi, e inserirsi in un mercato del genere è difficile, lo devi fare con qualcosa di diverso e di interessante.
He said it was 30 years he thought about it and tossed it around in his head. He said just he was smack in the middle of a cheese producing area and before he would have the nerve to start doing it himself, he said it had to be in a very spectacular and different way.
Mm. So you didn't want to just make cheese like the people around you and kind of fit in. You wanted to be different from the bunch.
Dice che non volevi essere come tutti gli altri, voleva fare una cosa totalmente diverso.
Assolutamente sì, perché le altre aziende locali sono aziende strutturate che hanno una storia. E quindi partire come piccola azienda e fare un prodotto simile non aveva senso.
He said the other people around him were all historical companies who had been there for many, many years, and they had the tradition and the cheese making and everything there, and he couldn't imagine being the tiny little startup guy doing the same thing, that he would get lost.
Yeah, makes sense.
Sì, ci voleva un'idea diversa. E allora abbiamo deciso di farla con un animale diverso.
Said he needed a new idea, so they decided to do it with a new animal in the area.
Mm-hmm. Very exciting. So, Paola, what about you at Le Tamerici?
Allora, noi alle Tamerici siamo circa 12 persone che lavoriamo, soprattutto donne.
There are about 12 people and almost all of them women.
Wow. Yes.
E io ho sempre tenuto esserci in produzione, quindi il mio compito è proprio seguire in prima persona la produzione. Quindi quando non ci sono, in realtà non si produce, tutta l'azienda va avanti, ma non il comparto produttivo.
Paola always wanted to be producing, making the product. Hmm. That's where her passion is. So if she's not around,
she's
the company
the
works, but they're not making the product because that's where her love is. I mean, if you read there, you know, I think about the story all the time. She was a pharmacist.
Right.
But she loved this.
Right.
Sì, non pensavo di fare la produttrice di mustard.
And she didn't really ever consider this as her life.
Io ho fatto soltanto una tesi in chimica degli alimenti. Ecco, forse quello poteva essere il primo passo, e in particolare nella produzione del parmigiano reggiano. Questa è stata la mia tesi di laurea in farmacia.
Ah, sì?
Sì.
She was the part, like the chemical side. She studied chemistry and food and everything else, and she did her thesis on that side of Parmigiano Reggiano, but in the production of Parmigiano Reggiano.
Wow, so it has come full circle now.
E per me è molto importante lo studio dei prodotti nuovi. Mi diverte tantissimo inventarmi cose diverse, cose nuove, e in questi anni devo dire che me ne sono inventate tante.
Tanti.
Tante.
She loves thinking up new products. Just that's, you know, what really drives her. And she said in these years she's come up with so many different products.
I prossimi giorni presentiamo un prodotto golosissimo, mostarda d'arancia con cioccolata fondente.
It's true, it's great. She said this at the show. We have three new products, but she's talking about one with an orange mostarda with pieces of chocolate in it. And it's ridiculous.
Oh my,
it's decadent.
Wow.
Penso che il limite della fantasia non ci sia con il cibo.
There's no limits to her fantasy in food.
Oh my word.
Anche perché all'inizio avevo una scuola di cucina, ho insegnato per tanti anni a cucinare.
Ah, and Paola has had a cooking school for many years and has been teaching people how to cook. Mm.
E questo mi ha dato anche la possibilità di capire come consumare il mio prodotto come ingrediente di una ricetta. Anche questo è un bel gioco, è molto divertente.
She loves that she's able to always experiment with her products and help teach people all the different ways that they could use her products while cooking.
Mm. Yeah, for me, it opens a whole new sort of category of options when I'm cooking. If I have a few condiments like the mostarda in my fridge, it's like suddenly something that was very boring could become kind of exciting. You know, you do sort of a roast and it might be kind of just, it's just meat, but then you put a little mostarda on it, it's a whole different thing.
E infatti è un condimento, è un ingrediente come il sale, il pepe, l'olio, l'erba aromatica, così c'è il cucchiaio di mostarda.
She said it's an ingredient, just like salt, pepper, herbs, whatever it is, that can be used in so many ways as an ingredient.
Right. In un piatto riesce a calibrare e a modificare la nota dolce, piccante, quindi si combina con il piatto. Quando un piatto ha bisogno del piccante o di una nota dolce, si può utilizzare il mio prodotto.
She said it's like it can balance off a dish. So if that dish is missing like a little bit of a spicy note,
right,
the mostarda helps pick that up.
A little acidity
And on the contrary, like if the dish needs a little bit of sweetness, you get that out of the candied fruit part.
Very interesting. Well, my next question is actually for you, Michelle. I'm very curious how you came to work with Bruno and Paola and their products. And I'd love to hear the stories of how these relationships began.
Well, you know what? Paola, quando ci siamo Maybe conosciuti Paola. Sono tanti anni Paola, fa, in una fiera?
Anni fa, sì, alle Vin Italy a Verona.
Ah, veramente. I can't keep track. It's so long ago. We met at Vin Italy. Mm-hmm. I think that was Vin Italy. I treated myself for my birthday mm-hmm. to there, but it ended up being pure torture because there was no way I could try every single wine in that room.
Right.
And that was the torture.
A vent'anni.
But yes, it was 20 years ago.
Wow.
And good thing I didn't, nobody knows my age. But I met.
You were just a baby sneaking into Vin Italy.
I was, you bet. And then I mean, it was amazing. Just Paola herself, you know, so charismatic and so passionate. And it was so iconic. So we were always looking for these traditional things that were not really paid attention to in the States. They might have been here in some way,
right,
in a little tiny bit,
but not highlighted, really given center stage.
And it just was like the perfect fit of you know, tradition but innovation, passion, and then we just ignited and it's been really fantastic. And it's so exciting to have her here now as we're relaunching and kind of modernizing and updating. So our relationships with most of our producers go as far as 20, 22 years or whatever, and we feel very fortunate.
Yeah,
it's not just a working relationship. There's a really long bond and true appreciation between each of us.
Okay, so wine tasting brought you to Paola. Now what about Bruno and Quattro Portoni?
Bruno, I tripped over it practically. I was at a trade show wandering aisle by aisle by aisle by aisle saying,
what many people will do this week here in New York.
Yeah, and I was just like, you know, looking. I didn't know for what, but I'm always just looking and I know it when I find it. And I started to walk past their booth and I saw this big square cheese. And I poked my nose into their booth and I looked closer and it was a blue. It was like a square cheese and a blue.
So those two
buffalo
things
milk?
Right. And then did they have you at buffalo milk?
Well, honestly, I don't like mozzarella di bufala.
Oh my word.
So it wasn't exactly that I was sitting here, but that was like aged buffalo milk. I need to try this. And I was just ready to sign him up right there. The funny thing is we didn't start with the Bleu de Buffalo because we thought that was a bit too much.
It was like, and too many new things.
Yeah, we decided that we should do something. We actually were going to do with like their Quartarolo. It was the Bufarolo that I had meant to ask for. But we ended up getting Quadrello.
And Quadrello, listeners, is the washed rind buffalo milk cheese. It's in a square shape.
Similar to like a Taleggio would be.
Yeah, Taleggio. But water buffalo milk.
Right. But we can't call it Taleggio because it's cow's milk.
Right.
I mean, because it's not cow's milk. But so we started with that cheese. And it's been a really fantastic ride. And just all of this work and talk about aged buffalo over the years, if you see it in this country, there's this huge rush now. You know, who can get their other buffalo milk? How many people can get their buffalo milk? And it's all been started by, you know, just they had a different point of view to come up with this. And then you start to say, well, why didn't anybody ever think about doing something different?
It seems so obvious now.
But it was that creaminess. There was no like tang. Right. It was just that voluptuousness of the milk that really got me.
So unusual. And, you know, the other thing that's very unusual is that at least here in the United States, it seems like there are few people who have really mastered the art of working with water buffalo, working with the animals to produce milk and to produce cheese from that milk. I've heard all kinds of funny myths that the animals have to like you, that they're very finicky. Is it a big challenge working with water buffalo? Do you have to have a special touch?
Dice che c'è gente che dice che devi fare le cose diverse, strane, o che ti devono piacere, se no non prutton bene. Vuole capire se è molto difficile lavorare latte di bufala, lavorare con l'animale e latte.
Non è difficile, però è diverso. La bufala è un animale lento, produce poco latte, però vive a lungo, per cui uno deve fare un programma di tanti anni.
It's not difficult to work with a buffalo. It's just different. Mm. The buffalo is a slow animal. Mm. They're also sweet, I have to say. So it's more about something. They're slow. Mm-hmm. They produce very little milk.
Right.
And they live for a very long time.
Mm-hmm. E per cui devi essere molto convinto di quello che fai.
Perché you have to be very convinced about what you're doing.
Perché non avrai risultati in pochi mesi e neanche in pochi anni.
You won't see your results in a few months or in a few years.
Per cui devi essere dedicato e convinto.
You need to be dedicated and convinced.
Hmm. Wow. Well,
and he taught me that the strain of the animal is really important. Huh. And I, every time I go, they might reduce. They continually do a selection in their herd mm-hmm. to always have the top quality animals producing the best milk.
So to not strain them too much. Is that what you mean by strain of the animals?
Per spiegare la selezione di bufala, che tu sempre fai una selezione, ma di chi produce meglio e di qualità del latte, vero?
Naturalmente. Da sempre il modo per misurare la quantità di produzione di una bufala non è i litri di latte, ma sono i chili di formaggio, cioè già il latte trasformato. Quindi è fondamentale considerare sia la quantità, ma assolutamente la produzione, la qualità del latte, il contenuto di proteine.
It's not in the volume of milk necessarily mm. that you can measure the animal or the cheese. It's in the kilos of the cheese mm. that you produce.
I see.
And it's a different resa. Yield.
Oh yes,
yield. Thank you for helping me.
The yield is higher from milk to cheese.
So that's where you really evaluate the quality of the milk of the animal.
I see. Very good. Wow. Well, I can't believe it, but we're getting near the end of the episode. I have one more question for each of you. And this is not so much related to cheese or mostarda, but I'm just curious what you're each most looking forward to about being in New York City. Is there a food that you're excited to eat or something you're excited to see? Or, you know, what are you excited about being in New York?
Dice, a parte di essere qua per lavoro, è curiosa di sapere perché cos'è di cui siete molto presi da New York, perché siete così felici di essere qua, e per un tipologia di cibo, e per un posto in particolare, un quartiere, cos'è che vi fa veramente contentissimi di stare qua?
È una città che in poco tempo si evolve tantissimo, quindi ogni anno vedi cose diverse, cose nuove.
It's a city that's always evolving, always changing, so whenever I come it's different.
Curiosa. Il bello è proprio scoprire le piccole cose del quotidiano, non monumenti, cioè proprio sono il modo di vivere e soprattutto le piccole sfumature di questa città che sono veramente grandi.
She said it's not in the big things or in the monuments, it's just in the little things, in the subtleties of everything, just observing, being around, seeing what's happening. Mm.
Il anche poter capire come si evolve la richiesta di cibo da parte di chi frequenta questa grande città. Cosa è più di moda in quel momento lì? Cosa vuole le persone mangiare?
She wants to know. She's observing what people eat, how they eat it, what they're looking for.
È molto importante per me che il mio prodotto va mangiato con qualcosa d'altro e non da solo, capire con cosa può essere mangiato in quel momento lì. È assurdo pensare di mangiare a New York il bollito misto italiano, ma forse è più facile mangiare una grigliata o una carne alla brace e ci sta altrettanto bene.
She's looking around also from the point of view just of what she makes, because she said we're in a city that, you know, bolito misto is not the norm for what people, so what are people eating?
Right.
How could she come up with ideas or suggestions that help incorporate what people are eating to pair with the products that she does make.
Makes a lot of sense. I hope you have a, I think you'll have a lot to work with, a lot to observe. And Bruno, okay, what about you?
Dal mio punto di vista, la cosa più esaltante di essere qui a New York è che posso vedere qui quello che succederà fra 10 anni in Italia, probabilmente fra 5 anni a Milano. E quello che ho notato la prima volta che sono stato qui è il senso che è il Made in Italy qua. E in questi anni che sono passati dall'ultima visita che ho fatto mi rendo conto che il Made in Italy è ancora più importante. C'è una tendenza nella moda, nel cibo, in tutto quanto.
You gotta give me the time to say it all of that. Yeah, he said that by being here, I have an idea of what it's going to be like 10 years from now in Italy.
Ah.
And maybe 5 years from now in Milan. Hmm. He said, as you know, from one time to the next, I see the differences. But what I see overall is that made in Italy is very important. Hmm. Made in Italy really has an impact.
Hmm. Sì, per cui mi dà un'indicazione. Quello che è successo con il mio prodotto qui, grazie al lavoro che ha fatto Michel, sta un po' alla volta succedendo anche in Italia, ma anche in altri paesi in Europa. Quello che era una cosa sconosciuta, il formaggio stagionato di bufala, sta diventando una moda. E niente, questo mi dà l'idea di quello che dovrò fare per i prossimi anni.
He said what Forever Cheese has done with his product here in the States, and thanks to Michelle, mm-hmm. He's seeing the evolution now in Italy and in other countries, and that aged buffalo milk cheeses have really become very in and the fashion,
very true.
And it keeps growing. So it helps give him an indication of what he needs to do moving forward.
To stay ahead, keep that creative spirit going. Very good. Now, Michelle, what about you? What's your favorite part of Fancy Food Show Week?
I get to see everybody. Mm. I get to see producers who come to visit, and right. I can say hi. But I get to see my customers, who I'm not the one traveling all over the U.S. anymore.
Right.
I'm not complaining because I love my Europe. But it makes me so happy to see all of my customers and all of the other people because we have wonderful people in our industry. And I love seeing all of those people at the show. And I love to be able to greet and see all the customers that I haven't.
Yeah.
So there's so many exciting things about.
It's a fun moment for the cheese and specialty food community, that's for sure. Well, I can't believe it, but we're at the end of our episode. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
What a treat. Listeners, if you aren't already munching on a little piece of quadrillo di bufala with the crab apple mustard, you need to go do it right now. Find a way. Look for these products. We'll include links to Quattro Portoni and Le Tamarici on our show page, and you can find out more about Forever Cheese by what's the best way for people to follow as you launch new products and suggest pairings.
Well, they could write at info@forevercheese.com if they want to be part of our newsletter.
Okay.
They could look at our website too, forevercheese.com. Mm-hmm. They could follow us on Instagram @forevercheeseco, which is the same with Facebook.
Great. All right. Well, there you go. Wow. Listeners, we hope you enjoyed this episode. And thanks for listening, everyone. We'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.